Hello, hello, and welcome to A Hope Kingdom Ministry, where we give you food for thought. Our intention is to give you something more to think about. And beloved, I want you to think more about Rahab, which most pronounce Rahab. I know we talked about this and I've given some teaching on this, but it's put on my heart to give you something more. I really want you to think about this. I'm giving you food for thought and something to think about here. Okay, let's start off with prayer. Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for us being alive, because we didn't earn it or deserve it. It's just your mercy, your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your unmerited favor, undeserved favor, that they write as grace. We are so excited and so honored that you call us your children. You, the Most High, the perfect one, the Almighty One, the self-existent one, the one who's always existed, and making us joint heirs with the King of Kings, our precious Savior, your only begotten Son, your beloved, which whom you made us acceptable unto yourself through. Father, thank you. Thank you. And right now, Father, I submit my mouth and my mind, my words, this teaching, this message to you. And I pray, set a watch, O Yah, before my mouth and guard the door to my lips. Search me, O Yah, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And Father, I pray for an open heart. Open the eyes of their heart, of the listeners, your chosen few. And I pray that they will research anything that questioned, that they will research and find out the truth, to search the truth, to pray, and let your spirit teach them. Not believe what I say, not just believe what any man or woman say, but believe what your spirit, the teacher that's inside of us, Yeruach Kadosh, your set-apart spirit that's known to Moses, Holy Spirit, that dwells inside of us, that brings the words of the Father and the Son into us. This is my prayer. And I pray this in the name above all names, in the name of salvation, which is Yahusha, the Messiah, who's known and called by most, Jesus. Hallelujah. So be it, so be it, so be it. All right, beloved, I want to talk about something else. I simply say Rahab or Rahab, but I don't think I mentioned this in the other teaching. Yet, now, you know, on the roof, she hid them under flax on the top of her roof, right? So references made, I got this off the internet for you. References made to the custom drying flax stalks in Joshua chapter 2, verse 6. By exposing them to the sun on the flat roof houses. It was much used in forming articles of clothing, such as girdles, also cords and bands. And you find that in Leviticus 13:48, Leviticus 13:52, Leviticus 13:59. Then it has in parentheses, see linen. Then it goes on. Moreover, flax fibers are made to make linen. Exodus 9:31. Rahab used these large flax stalks that were laid on the roof, on her roof, for drying, to hide the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, right? Now, she had to have a lot for them to be hidden under there. It had to be a large stack. Right? And her house was in the wall of Jericho. It was inside the wall. Her home was opened to the top of the city. And you can see her house in Joshua 2:15. If you wanted to check, her house was in the wall of Jericho. And Joshua 2:8, you see where her home was opened to the top of the city. Now, beloved family, though she is described as a harlot, a prostitute in the Bible, I believe that can't be further from the truth. She was an innkeeper, beloved family, an innkeeper. She had a hotel for visitors right there in the wall, right on the wall, as they come into Jericho. She was also a businesswoman that sold flax and made linen, girdles, and other items out of the abundance of the flax on her roof. Tell me something. Why would a prostitute have all that flax on her roof, that's such a big stack she can hide two men, if her business was selling her body and not selling flax? Huh? Okay, that's one question. Another question I have for you is, why would two devout men, two righteous men that were very much in practice of obeying Yah, keeping themselves set apart from sin, go and stay in an establishment of prostitution with all that sin around, with all the demonic spirits and sin and perversion? Huh? Can you answer that? Can you answer that for me? I can. They wouldn't. They would never do that. The type of men that Caleb and Joshua were, they would never do that. I don't care what anybody said. Oh, well, they could say stuff like, well, they wouldn't think people would expect him there. They would not do that. They do not compromise them. They would never compromise. One more thing. And this has got to be the most suspicious one, beloved. Why would our perfect creator and father, Yah, go through the trouble of keeping the bloodline pure for his son, our Savior, to come through? All those years, he chose a pure virgin to give birth to him, right? And put his pure blood in him so that he wouldn't be infected with the blood and the seed of man. And I put a note for myself. Remember, beloved, the mother's blood does not go into the child. It only crosses, but it's the father's blood that goes into the child. So that's how our Savior could be born sinless, without the blood, the sinful blood of Adam, because he had the blood of his father. And that's why he's referred to as the seed of woman, because women don't have seed, they have eggs. But there was no human man, a human seed involved. So that's why he's called the seed of woman. Okay? And you know, that's a fact. You can look it up, where the mother's blood does not go in the child. The father's blood, it may cross over, but it does not enter the child. And even before that, family, Yah killed all of the people that had been polluted and infected by the fallen one's corrupt seeds, with the exception of one pure family that had not been polluted, and that was Noah and his family. Now, do you think he's going to allow his pure, sinless son to come through the line of a prostitute, a harlot? Huh? People, use your own brain and stop using somebody else's. Can't you see that's Satan and his children, the Kenites, the synagogue of Satan, doing this to mock our Savior's pure birth? Because, see, Satan wanted to be him. Satan wanted to be the Savior. He wanted to be Adam. Because Yahusha, who's called Jesus, he's considered the second Adam. And second means the main one, the original. Satan wanted that. Family. Satan has been in the church preaching lies like this for centuries. God is in complete control. Now, comes from the line of a harlot. Is this making sense to you now? I mean, go back and listen over to it. Is this making sense? Okay, and to add to it, those Sadducees and Pharisees, which were the Kenites, not Canaanites, the Kenites, which were the sons of Cain, the synagogue of Satan. You can read that in your Bible. They had no respect for a woman in business, and they would call them harlots. Actually, They weren't too keen on women in general. Just like their father, Satan, who's mistakenly called Lucifer. Satan had it out for Eve because he knew the Son of Yah was coming through her. And that's why he, Satan, as Eve put it, wholly, wholly seduced her. Did you hear that? Wholly seduced her. Wholly meaning completely seduced her. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. Something to think about, huh? That's definitely food for thought. This is not going to be a long message, because I want you to research and I want you to think about it. We got to stop just going by what that man was taught in the pulpit. And some of them, they're just teaching what they were taught. They didn't research it. There's so much in there. And we have to remember that the Kenites came into Jerusalem under the guise of being protected. I have a teaching on that. They were coming in for protection. And as they were being in protection, they foolishly eventually gave them, when they converted to the Yahudi faith that they call Jewish faith. And they could not be Jews because the J is not even 600 years old. Come on now. Let's get real. Okay. It was called the Yahudi. And that's, everything was Yah. It was called, it was Jerusalem. Yashirah. Jerusalem for Jerusalem. Yashirah for Israel. You know, Yahuda for Judah. And you know, these people were called by his name. Like it says Joshua. Joshua's name is Yahusha, really. Him and Yahusha had the same name. That's why it was Yahusha, son of Nun, and Yahusha the Messiah. There are people called by his name. Matityahu is Matthew. Yashiyahu is Isaiah. Zachariahu is Zechariah. Yahuchanan is John. So they came in as, you know, to be protected. And what did they do? They gave them the jobs as the bookkeepers. They became the scribes and things. So what did they? They wrote in things. For one thing they did, they took his name out almost 7,000 times. And I said before, if you read the preface of your Bibles, now some of these Bibles that Satan has had translated, they're taking that out now because people are finding it. You read the preface, it tells you they took his name out and put in Lord and God. See, and his name would never change. It would be the same Yahudi that the people call Hebrew name. Because, okay, Apple computers. When you go to Japan or anywhere, okay, you know, lingo is the word for Apple in Japan. They don't call it lingo computers. It's still Apple computers. They do not translate in the name. His name was Y-A, and it was Y-H-U-H. There was no V. That was put in by people who can't say the word wu. They have to say vat, vin. They can't, that's how they pronounce it. There was, and it was, they, when it was the U, when they would, sometime on the parchment that they were writing on, it would tear the paper. So they came up with this V, one line on one side, one line on the other. You know, his name is Yah, Yahuwah. Pronounce, some people pronounce Yahuwah, Yah. I am Uah, the self-existing one. And his son said, I come in my father's name, Yah. Yahusha means salvation. Yeshua doesn't mean salvation. Yeshua means he who cries out. Shua, look it up. In the Greek and Hebrew. Shua means cries out. The word Shah is saves, delivers. Yahusha means salvation. Jesus does not mean salvation. Okay? So, I mean, but our Father knows our heart, and he knew what they did. He honored them. That's what Satan didn't count on. He didn't count on that the Father goes by the motive of our heart. And he knew we were in ignorance. We didn't know anything else but that. But now you know. The J just made 500 years old not that long ago. I mean, that's documented. Okay, so as I was saying, these Kenites came in for protection, and they got in that position of bookkeepers. and Sadducees and Pharisees. You know what? And what? Remember that our Messiah said, told them they were of of their father. They said Abraham was their father. He told them that was their father was the devil. You know, because and they said, well, he said, slave, we're Abraham's children. We were never slaves. They're absolutely right, because they were not the ones that were enslaved in Egypt, which is really Mizraim. They were not the ones. No, those are Kenites. They converted to the Yahudi faith. And you go back and read. What was that name of that book? I can't. Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. It'll tell you the synagogue of Satan. And they are the Kenites. And think about it. When you read in the scripture, you can find out who the Jebusites are, who the Edomites are, who everybody is, but the Kenites. That's hidden, because they don't want you to know who they are. Kenites are sons of Cain. Huh. Something to think about, huh? Food for thought. This is definitely food for thought. Stop just depending on somebody else's brain, somebody else's word, and get in the word and research it yourself. Pray about everything. Pray about it. Pray about the apple, Eve biting the apple. And Adam having Adam's apple stuck in his throat. Pray about a snake that was in the Garden of Eden, dressed up with all these 12 stones, the diamond, the topaz, the ruby. That was some dressed up snake. Pray about it. And research. And remember, beloved, the Father in the scripture, men are used, trees are used to represent men. Just like when, and another thing, you say, be caught up in the cloud. Clouds, yeah, a cloud of locusts. Clouds have been represent multitudes, has been used multitudes. So, I mean, there are things in the 12 candlesticks, you know, he used a lot of 12 angels, 12 messengers, a lot of things that were representing. I get so frustrated sometimes, because, you know, and I'm trying to be, not to give too much too soon, because people get upset with you and they think you're, call you a heretic. You know, but think about it. If you think about these, we've been, Satan is laughing, we believe all these little dumb fairy tales. You know, who's the tree of life? Yahusha, whom you call Jesus. Who's the tree of good and evil? Satan, who's mistakenly called Lucifer, who was good and turned evil. A tree is also representation of a man. Just food for thought. That's what this podcast, this channel is, to give you something more to think about and food for thought. And on that note, beloved, I'm going to leave you and say, until we meet again, Yah willing, and he allows me to live so that I can come back. Shalom. Peace be with you. Pray and use your own brain.